comes the bride. Man, when you think about a wedding and the preparation that goes into a wedding, especially if it's a real big wedding, and the anticipation of it and the excitement that goes along with it, and the bride prepping and the groom prepping and the bridesmaids prepping and the groomsmen prepping and all this stuff that happens. And then you have this culmination of everything where the bride is outside in a lobby area, the groom is here with the groomsmen, and then that music starts. Do you know that song? Oh boy. Oh man, if that doesn't get you excited in your spirit, I don't know what will, because you're going to hear that music. You're going to. Oh boy. Oh boy. Here comes the bride all dressed in white, only because of what Jesus did. It's not by your works, it's by His. Woo! Okay, here comes the bride. All creation, by the way, is waiting for this bride to take her veil off, by the way. My goodness. Okay, so God is raising up a people who know Jesus as their bridegroom king. They have the revelation that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and have been made clean, holy, and pure by the washing of the water of the Word. Now I want you to hear what I wrote down yesterday, and I don't know if you heard what Jeff said, but listen to this. They have taken off their dirty rags. Anybody want to read that right there? They have taken off their dirty rags. Jeff just stood there right and said this exact same thing in a different context, but dirty rags of religion and traded them for the white garments of holiness. I think he said the robe of righteousness, but this is the real deal. This is God speaking to you. This is the anointing of God coming out through various people, and His voice is coming forth. And what He's saying is there's a people who've taken the dirty rags of religion off and traded them for white garments of holiness or a robe of righteousness. My goodness, there's been so many things that have happened today where I use it as like a sports context, where if in a basketball game, or if somebody gets dunked on, it's like, ugh, or if someone gets crossed over and they kind of fall backwards and you're watching it, you're like, ugh. There's lots of stuff that have happened today where I'm like, ugh, man, oh boy, he tastes and sees that the Lord is good. Man, spiritual banana splits are being handed out today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh man, once you taste and see that He is good, this world will fade away from you. Your issues will fade away from you. Your anxiety will fade away from you. Your disease will fade away from you. Your depression will fade away from you. When you taste and see that He is good, when you just get a droplet of heaven, I'm not talking about some kind of pitcher, I'm talking about just a drop on your tongue. All you need is a drop on your tongue today to taste and see that He's good and leave all this junk behind. Whoa, okay, they are not full of shame and fear. Come on now, they are full of the Holy Ghost. They are not full of shame and fear. You don't live in Lodabar anymore. You do not live in the land of shame. I'm prophesying over you, and you do not exist in the land of fear anymore. You don't exist there anymore. You have taken a step and you've stepped out. And my goodness, I'm going over my notes, and Shane is kneeled back down back there, and his shirt says, "The old has passed away, and the new has come." The old has passed away, and the new has come. We're not full of shame and fear anymore. We're full of the Holy Ghost. My goodness, the Holy Ghost isn't nervous. He's not worried. He's got all this in His hand. He's structured everything for you not to fail, but be victorious, for you to be the head and not the tail. He has structured the whole thing for you to have victory. Man, because your bridegroom king walks in victory. Oh boy. Oh boy. They are full of the Holy Ghost. They have been overcome by the goodness of God. And then the key word here is overcome. And they see Him as a loving, passionate Father. They have been made new, and they have watched the old things pass away. Shane, I wrote that, and when I'm reading it, I'm looking at you bowed down, and your shirt says, "The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." I don't know how many signs and wonders we need to realize that God is in this house, and when God's in the house, that you realize that heaven has come, and you know what exists in heaven? No junk, no trash, nothing like that. It's all good. Somebody say, it's all good. My goodness, the goodness of this Father that we have. Okay, so they believe, I'm prophesying here, they believe, this bride believes 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when it says this, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become entirely a new person. Not 50% of you, no, an entirely a new person. All that is related to the old order, imagine this, has vanished. And behold, everything has become fresh and new. Man, I want you to wake up every morning and sit on the edge of your bed and say, hi, fresh and new. Oh, man. See, that's too much, right? It's too much for us to actually walk in victory and walk in this joy and walk in this contentment of who we are and who He is and wake up every day and say, listen, this isn't self-talk, some kind of talk that's trying to get you excited. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not walking around this day going, oh, I got so many issues and so many problems, and this is happening, and none of my friends are saved, and I got to figure out how to get them saved. My goodness, if you would rejoice, you'd be amazed how you change the atmosphere, and just maybe people around you say, oh my gosh, I feel like I've been in the presence of Jesus. See, man, this is how this whole thing is planned, for you to come into Christ, and then for you to come into Christ, and now it's not Jesus on the earth, it's multiplied hundreds of millions of Him walking in the earth. It's too much, isn't it? It's too much, isn't it? Little old me? Yep. Right? Little old me? Yep. Oh, okay. So, God has made all things new. See, this is just too much fun. See, if you're not having fun in church, something's gone wrong. Listen, if you're coming into a place where it's dead and you leave dead, there's something wrong with what's being preached. But if you leave here on fire, if you come in here with a certain amount of fire and you leave with more, guess what? The gospel has been presented to you. And didn't our spirits burn within us when we walked with Him on the road to Emmaus? It's too much. It's all way too much. It's all way, way, way too much, isn't it? See, we've been taught in life to be beat down. We've been taught in life just to don't expect too much, because if you expect too much, you're going to end up being disappointed. Can I tell you that Jesus will never disappoint you? It's okay to put 150% of your faith in Him, the one that never fails. Okay. I can't wait till tens of thousands of people hear these words. I cannot wait. So these words go outside of this house and it starts affecting regions and cities and states and countries and nations. Listen, I know who God is. You know, why? You sound a little cocky and arrogant. That's only because I know Him. My goodness, He parted the Red Sea, didn't He? My goodness, He told Lazarus to get up out of the grave, didn't He? My goodness. That's why the Bible says nothing is impossible for those that believe. But something's got to hit us. Yep. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world. Whoa. He was shepherding the world. And this is what it says. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It didn't say God so loved the church. It said God so loved the world. Guess what? That He gave. And this is the message of reconciliation. It's to the world to say, listen, what are you waiting for? Will you come into this glorious kingdom and experience this glorious Savior who died, by the way, for you to experience joy? It's the ministry of reconciliation. It literally says that God is speaking through you. Out of your lips, you are an ambassador between this joint and that joint. It's way too much. Yep. You love the world. Okay. Not even keeping records of their transgressions, and He has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door.
of reconciliation to God. Do you realize the words that come out of your mouth could open a door for someone to walk in and actually experience this Jesus? The anointed word can break down boundaries and doors and mountains that people have been fighting, and all of a sudden this door opens and they see him for who he is. My goodness, and guess what's next? They realize that they're just like him. See, it's too much. It's too much. My goodness, he wants to marry me. You know what? Oh, that's too much, right? So we wake up here, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm worthy. Guess what? Jesus wants to marry you. And I all know the dudes in here are like, what are you talking about? I'm not scared of it. I watch these preachers and they were like skirting around the issue and, oh, I know men, the bridal dress and all that. Would you get over yourself? My goodness, we're talking about a kingdom that doesn't know Jew or Greek, male or female. Will you get over the idea that it's some kind of male and female thing and understand I don't care if you're a male or female. He wants to marry you. Who in the world asked somebody to marry them that didn't want to get married in the first place? Oh, he just doesn't want me. Oh, well, really? Then why did he ask you to marry him? It's all too much. Okay. Oh, my goodness. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world. What a joy it is to actually have this in your mouth and speak it forth and see the reconciliation happen. As though God was tenderly pleading with them directly through their lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. Turn back to the one that created you from the foundations of the world, who literally spoke you into existence. You were with him before you were here. And all he's saying is, will you come back home, prodigal son? Because when you come home, I'm going to come running off the porch and I'm going to hug you and love you. And the people around you may be wanting to spit on you and cause shame and say, who do you think you are? What are you doing? Yeah, the Father's running towards you and he will not quit. He's not a quitter. For God made the only one who did not know sin. See, this is the kind of stuff we have to camp out in. Go get in a lawn chair somewhere in the woods or somewhere on your back porch and read this over and over and over again. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin. You say, how can he take our sins and remove them as far as from the east and the west? How does that happen? How does it not remember? How does he not? Because he became sin for you. My goodness, it caused him to sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. You say, why? Because the weight of sin was upon him. And he took the weight of sin up on that cross. And he was crucified. He died. He resurrected. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? You were along for the ride too. You may not know it right now, but he's going to reveal it to you that you were along for the ride too. Y'all don't remember being in the womb, do you? Oh yeah, I remember that swishing going on and I was wrong. Now there's some stuff that you just don't know Jesus did. Right. My gosh, he was inside the womb knitting you and forming you and creating you the same way he did with Adam. When he took Adam and he took a scoop of dirt and he started sculpting him and touching him and he looked at him and he said, oh, this is awesome. Adam, Adam, you're awesome. You turn to your neighbor and say, you're sculpted. By him. Oh my gosh, he speaks everything else into existence, but he takes man and he starts to touch him and he starts to form him and he starts to move just like a potter does with the clay, and intimacy arrives. Here comes intimacy. The enemy hates intimacy. He wants to destroy intimacy. My goodness, he made him sin so that we might become, why did he do it? Why did he do it? That we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. That we may put on the white robes of righteousness. My goodness, become a joint heir, a co-heir. He's looking at you and he says, everything I got, you got. My goodness, he's seated with him in heavenly places. He's given us all of this. Man, oh man. And now we're jumping into the Song of Songs. You ought to read this whole thing. You ought to read. I'll start a song, Psalms, and go through the whole book and picture yourself as the bride. You ought to listen to that. You want to talk about too much? Start reading through the Song of Psalms. My goodness, you think Days of Our Lives is good? Listen, I grew up watching General Hospital, Luke and Laura. A whole lot of people don't know what I'm talking about, but my mom loved soap operas. I would just sit there as a little kid and just be like, huh, you know? All right, Song of Songs, chapter 6. And I'm literally just drawing something out of this. I could start from the beginning and read this whole thing, and we'd be all undone. We'd be like, are you kidding me right now? Okay, let's go. So this is what he's saying, Song of Psalms 6, 1 through 10. These are brides to be. Listen, this is a bride to be. You could say a believer to be, or you could say maybe a believer that hasn't got the revelation of who they are yet. Oh, rarest of beauty, where then has your lover gone? They're asking this question. We long to see him too. Hey, there's millions and millions and millions of people that don't know it yet, but they long to see him too. They're searching all kinds of places. They're looking all over the place. They're trying to find love in all the wrong places. Come on, you know the song. Trying to find love in all the wrong places. They want him too. They just don't know it yet. They want him. Come on. We will follow you as you seek after him. Isn't that interesting? We talked about the idea of your life being an open door for someone to walk through. There's a whole bunch of people that are looking. They're looking. We will follow you as you seek after him. And the Shulamite bride, which is a type of the church, says, my lover has gone down into his garden of delight, to the flower beds of spices, to feast with those pure in heart. I am fully devoted to my beloved, and my beloved is fully devoted to me. It's something else to be in love, isn't it? It's the basic human desire is connection, intimacy, and love. And you can draw, you could put all that, and you could draw this line of, okay, that's why this has happened. This is why that emotional disturbance, this is why that circle of thought keeps happening. It all stems from this idea of there's something that happened where intimacy was broken, love was broken, union was broken, relationships were broken. All right. Fully devoted to me, and I'm fully devoted to him. Hey, this is what the bridegroom king says. My beloved, you are lovely. That's too much, isn't it? It's a little too sappy. A little too sappy. When I see you in your beauty, I see a radiant city. He's talking about the new Jerusalem here. He's talking about the new heavens and the new earth here. I know this is a prophetic statement where we will dwell as one. More pleasing than any pleasure, more delightful than any delight. You have ravished my heart, stealing away my strength to resist you. Well, I don't believe that. Well, what was going on with the father on the porch that ran after the prodigal son? I'm telling you something. He was burning, irresistible when he saw his son come. It was irresistible. He sprung off the porch and ran after him because his bride is irresistible. Oh boy. Oh man. There's something that happens in a family when you have a father and a mother and you have grandparents and you have this stability and you have this network of people around, and these children start to grow up and they are so confident. They feel like they can do anything because they've grown up in this environment that was solid and it was secure. And I'm sure some stuff went wrong. I'm sure there was some dysfunction stuff. But all in all, they ended up coming out and they said, wow, I have this sense of wholeness and I really feel like I can step out and do anything. Some of you and some of us didn't have that experience in life. But this Jesus has come to make all things new. And all of those things that tripped you up and where you felt rejected and your family went this way and you went that way and all that stuff, he's come to absolutely heal all of that. Heal all of it. Heal every last piece of it. Yeah, it's called the reconciliation of all things. Well, I have some stuff on my account that I don't feel really as reconciled. Guess what? He's the reconciler of all things. He's coming to make the books right. Okay. Make the books right. Yep. All right. Okay. Man. Okay. You have ravished my heart, stealing away my strength to resist you. Even hosts of angels stand in awe of you. Turn your eyes from me. I can't take it anymore. I can't resist the passion of these eyes that I adore. Overpowered by my glance, my ravished heart is absolutely undone. The the same way that he formed Adam, and he stood back and he formed this universe and he formed all these trees and everything that was in it in the garden, what did he do? He stepped back and he said, this is really good. This is really good. And I know some of this stuff makes our brain go tilt, because some of us, maybe I, to some degree, am still stuck in that old garden. I'm still stuck in that place of the curse. I'm still stuck in that place just thinking, well, God loves me. Like, I know he kind of loves me. No, he's absolutely undone by his bride. And when he sees his bride and the robe of righteousness on his bride, he says, I want that. Undone, held captive by your love, I am truly overcome, for your undying devotion to me is the most yielded sacrifice. The shining of your spirit shows how you have taken my truth to become balanced and complete. Your beautiful blushing cheeks, I know this is too much, reveal how real your passion is for me, even hidden behind your veil of humility. I could have chosen any from among the vast multitude of royal ones who follow me, but unique is my beloved dove, unrivaled in beauty, without equal, beyond compare, the perfect one, the favorite one. Others see your beauty and sing of your joy. Brides and queens chant your praise. How blessed she is. How blessed she is. Look at you now. Oh, man. Look at you now. Look at you now. Arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all its strength. Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun in all its strength. Astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory. You say, why all the banners? Astonishing to behold as a majestic army waving banners of victory. When you see someone up here waving a banner, it is a banner of absolute victory. Victory, victory, victory. All right. My goodness. All right. We're going to go to Genesis 2, because I want to get to the root of this thing. I know it's 12. We're not going to be a whole lot longer. This is what it says in Genesis 2, 4 through 8. And I'm telling you, the enemy is after your intimacy, specifically with Jesus. And if you understand that, then you know what the weapons of your warfare is, and you can win this thing. I mean, in real time. This is what it says in Genesis 2, 4 through 8. This is the account of the heavens and earth after they were created. This is after they were created. At the time Yahweh God created earth and heaven, there was no vegetation, grains of the field, or shrubs sprouting on the earth, for there was no one to cultivate the land. There was nobody to cultivate the land. And Yahweh God had not yet sent rain. In those days, a mist arose from the soil and watered the whole face of the earth, so there was no rain. Yahweh God scooped up a lump of soil, sculpted like a potter, a man. This is intimacy. We just talked about this idea of intimacy. He touched Adam. He formed Adam. And then he did something even more intimate. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life. I don't know what the last time you blew into somebody's nostrils, but that's pretty intimate. Intimacy. The man came alive. Can you watch this happen in your imagination? He created this dirt human, and when he breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam was like, wow. Imagine Adam first starting to look around. I've never even gone this place in my mind. Imagine, so he's been created, he got breathed the breath of life, and now he's like, it's almost like being born and actually knowing exactly what's going on. Can you imagine coming out of the womb and being like, what in the world? You know, I was just in all this fluid, and now I'm in this place where I'm not in fluid, and I'm actually breathing oxygen, and I'm not taking in this fluid. Anyway, we're digressing. Then Yahweh planted a lush garden paradise in the east in the land of delight, and there he placed the man he had formed. In Genesis 2, This is what it says in verse 18. Then Yahweh God said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And this is the same thing. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and Jehovah God, Yahweh stood out in a circle in this circle, and they said, it's not just gonna be us. We're gonna create this thing called the human race, and we're gonna create this thing. There's gonna be a fall, and then we're gonna bring those people that say yes to the wedding back into the fold, and they're gonna experience everything that we experience. Man, is my daughter Hannah here? Okay, so when Hannah just moved into a new house, and she called, we were out golfing, and she called and she said, and we were gonna head back to the house. She said, don't go to the house yet. She's like, if you do, wait till I get there. Because you know what Hannah wanted to do? She wanted to take me in through the house and say, this is the bathroom, this is the living room, this is the basement, this is the man cave, this is the backyard, this is the garage. She had such a desire to show me what was on that property. Do you know God is the same way? He so desires to unveil and reveal himself. He's just like that. He says, I can't wait. I can't wait till you come into this place called heaven, to this place called the kingdom of God. I can't wait to show you what it's going to be like. Oh, he's got this anticipation, and he wants us to have that anticipation. He wants that anticipation to come. The bride just keeps, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Okay. I will fashion a suitable partner to help. Listen to this. I will fashion a suitable partner to be his help and strength. Wow. For Yahweh God had formed from the soil every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them before the man to see what he would call them. So whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. Adam starts speaking out these words. He starts speaking out these names, and that is the name of these things. He gave names to all the various cattle, birds, and wild animals, but Adam could not find a fitting companion that corresponded to him. So Adam at this point is looking around and is like, I don't feel like dating a goat. He's like, these animals, they ain't nothing like me. He desires a partner. He desires something outside of these animals, outside of something that God has already created. He's like, I couldn't find a fitting companion for myself. So Yahweh God caused Adam to fall into a deep trance. Isn't it interesting that God took Jesus and put him into the sleep of death so that the church could be born out of his side, out of the spirit that goes into his side and the rushing water that comes out of his side, and now out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You preach the whole gospel in Genesis. You can preach the whole thing, but he put Adam to sleep. He put him to sleep. He put him into a deep trance, and while he slept, he took a portion of Adam's side and closed it, place with flesh. You want to talk about intimacy? My goodness, he opened up Adam. He did the first surgical maneuver, opens the side of Adam, pulls Eve out of his side. You want to talk about intimacy? My goodness, she was on the inside of Adam. My goodness. No wonder the enemy is after, he's out to destroy relationships and families. He's out to destroy the family unit. We got to fight it. 3M, deep trance. He slept, took a portion of Adam's side, closed its place with flesh. Closes them up. Then Yahweh God used the portion of Adam's side and skillfully crafted a woman and presented her to him. Then Adam said, at last, one like me. Her bones were formed from my bones. Does this sound familiar? Her bones were formed from my bones and her flesh from my flesh. It's the same thing Jesus is trying to convince the church of, that your bone of my bone, your flesh of my flesh. When you look at me and when you look at yourself in the mirror, guess what you see? You're going to see me and you. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. It's no longer I that live, but it's him. And this is the thing he's trying to convince his bride of who exactly she was created to be. Him, listen to me, him always getting the preeminence. So when you hear these messages, don't go out and say, well, it sounded like he was preaching something to where like he was better than God or maybe equal. We are not equal with him in that manner. He will always be holy. He will always have the preeminence. He will always be the first and the last and the A to the Z. We are just saying we want to come up under that thing that he has called us to be, which is the bride of Christ. That's all our declaration is. Okay. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. We're going somewhere with this, and we're almost done. For this reason, a man leaves his father and his mother to be unselfishly attached to his wife. That's a whole, you want to do a 10-part series on that one? Come on. They became one flesh as a new family. The man and his wife felt no shame, unaware that they were both naked. They had no idea what sin was. They had no idea what it was to be vulnerable. They had no idea what it felt like to be rejected. They had no idea what it felt like to be diseased. They didn't have any idea. No idea at all. In the same way that God took Eve out of Adam's side and skillfully crafted a woman while he slept, a bride, the church was formed out and raised up through Jesus' pure side, through his death, and would rise with him through his resurrection. But it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting, isn't it? We're finishing here. The man and his wife felt no shame, unaware that they were both naked. Do you know what it says in the next verse? Come on now, pay attention to this. The level of intimacy that had just happened, Eve has just been presented to Adam. They're in the garden and nothing is wrong. And God's walking with them. And there's just a sense of, oh, we're in this place of wholeness. The next line in the next chapter says, now the snake. The snake. So the snake comes slithering into that place of wholeness, comes slithering into that place of man, we're in this good place. He comes into this place. Now the snake, what? He came to break up intimacy. He came to break up the idea that God loves you so much that he's ravished by you. He wants to whisper in your ear and say, that's a little bit too much. He doesn't love you that much. He can't love you that much. And I go back to this thing where anybody else die for you lately? Not just because you were really good, but because you absolutely rejected him. Do you know that we put Jesus on the cross? And on the cross, as we put him up there, he said, Father, forgive them because none of them know what they're doing. This is what he wants to bring his bride into. It's a manifestation. It's a chamber. It's a place that he wants to bring us into, where we enter this place and the love of God so overwhelms us that we think in our head, when stuff starts to happen like it did in the old ways, that we say these words. We say, that's the old. I don't live there anymore. I dare you this week to every time something comes against you, you tell the enemy, I don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. This is not self-talk. What you are doing is you're delivering the message of God into the atmosphere, the anointed word that you're saying what he's saying. It's important to say what God says. And now the snake. And you know what happens after that. We're ending here. Do you know, in Jewish tradition, in Jewish weddings, and we're just going to move right through this, there had to be a price paid for the bride. And do you know that Jesus paid the price for you with the most precious thing in the universe, the most precious thing that could ever be? He paid for you with his blood. He paid the bride price for you. The bride and groom would share a glass of wine, do you know, in that communion time when he was with the disciples, and he said, take this cup, drink it. Do you know what he was doing? He was making this union with him. He was making this connection with them through the blood. And then you know what the groom did? He went away to prepare a place for his bride. Come on, you got to hear this. This is the Jewish wedding. He went away to prepare a place at his father's house for his bride. And it was literally most of the time about 1 year. It could have been a little more, a little less. But he goes away to prepare a place. You know, Jesus, when he said, it's better for me to go than to stay. Not only did he send the Holy Spirit, but he went to his Father and he created this place that you're going to live in forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the bride began to prep with excitement. She got a bridesmaid. She got a dress. This is where this idea, it talks about getting ready, staying ready, being watchful. You imagine the excitement of the bride. The bride didn't know when the groom would come back. The only person knew when the groom would come back was the Father himself. Does it sound familiar? The Father decided when the Son would return. The Son didn't even know. The groom would return to the bride to be with a shout, blowing shofars with his groomsmen and steal her away in the night. She didn't even know the time of day. So she'd be chilling out wherever in her chambers or her wherever she's at night. And all of a sudden, she hears this shout. She hears these shofars. She hears this stirring. She hears this great thing going on. And here comes the groom and the groomsmen. And they come and they literally take her from the house and not even anybody around. Takes her away. And then
which I cannot wait for. There was a wedding day, and you know what? The reception was a minimum of 7 days long, and there was times where it would even be up to a month and more of this crazy celebration. When the consummation of the ages is all said and done, and the reconciliation of all things has come to pass, and we've come to this place that was designed from the creation of the world, and we come into move into this space where God now has us. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all can stand. But I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's closer now than it's ever been. We used to sing this song. I can hear the Father say, "Son, go get your children." Everybody know that song? So here's, I guess, a takeaway is prep. And prep in a way. You know the story of Mary and Martha. Prepare like Mary. We're not preparing in the idea of busyness. We're preparing and seeking the face of this King. And absorbing and taking in who He is. He's growing the church up into this thing called the full stature of Christ. A mature bride. That is desire in Him. That is excited about Him. That is devoted to Him, not in a way of some kind of, I gotta do it because I gotta do it. They are in love. My goodness. When you're in love, do you know it's not hard to do stuff for the person you're in love with? And Father, we just pray right now, a further manifestation of your kingdom. We know your kingdom is here right now. We look forward into anticipation. Anticipation of the days ahead. As this time grows closer, with the consummation of the ages grows closer, Lord, I thank you for the revelation that your word says, with unveiled face. Listen, you're the bride, right? He says, with unveiled face. Do you know that the bride and groom were actually legally married for that year that he was away? They just hadn't consummated the marriage. There's going to be a consummation of the marriage. But right now you are legally, you say yes, and he says this, will you marry me? And you say yes, you've come into that space that he designed for you to live in. We celebrate the bridegroom king today. And we just say, what a plan, bridegroom king, what a plan, what a plan. And you pour your love out on us lavishly. You pour it out on us lavishly. And we worship the king in here today. My goodness, we said holy and holy, 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 holy over and over and over again. We worship this king today. Will you just raise your hands today to this King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give him further recognition that he has the preeminence, that he is more than enough, that he is the lover of your soul, that nobody can love you like him. And if you just want to come up, and if you just want to worship him up closer up at the altar, if the prayer people want to come down, I just have a sense right now that there's just such a worship of the King in this house, such a worship of who he is and what he's done for his bride.